It's better than good to come into the Lord's house, you know. How many of you have had a challenging week up to this point? Put your hand up high if you have. How about a challenging month? Challenging life? Okay, hands down. How many have felt in one way or another that you were overwhelmed with something or another? Week, a month, a lifetime? Yes. There's a lot of stuff in the world that contributes to that. A lot of things happening, moving parts, so forth. Things that seem that we can't control because we're human and there's certain limitations there. But you know what? We are more than human in the spiritual sense because Christ is in our heart. Nothing's impossible to him. And you know what else is permeating the world besides all the stuff that makes you feel overwhelmed? Something else that is really good when you're overwhelmed by it. Love. Overwhelmed with the love of God. Isn't that amazing? And it's so easy. We hear on the news and everybody reports the bad stuff all the time. You know, this and that. And today, the TV screens and the phone screens and everything brings the whole world right to our face. And because of that, we now, I think, feel personally connected to whoever the people are on the other side. And they don't know us from anybody. But it's different because the world is such a place that it does that. This occurred to me as well just recently. How many of you know why the flood came with Noah and all that bunch? Because the Lord saw that they could talk to one another and they could, the Bible says, they could accomplish anything they decided to do, so he confounded their language. And then they couldn't do it anymore. But you know what? Today, that can't apply anymore because we have phones that have translators in it. And you can type a message to someone in another country and they read it in their language. It's done automatically in the middle. Kind of interesting, isn't it? A lot of other stuff, too, leading up to their times and the seasons we're in. But today, and I was really excited to have an opportunity to speak to you because what Pastor Tim has been talking about, he stole some scripture verses from me. You're forgiven, brother. And we're going to share some of that today. It's just wonderful how the Lord can link and weave the word that he wants us to know into a fabric of love. Now, there's a lot of other stuff we've talked about, you know, faith, the shield of faith and hope and all these other wonderful things. But today we're going to talk about love. But first, I got to share something with you. This is a story about Pastor Tim that may or may not be true. I'll leave you to be the judge of that. And I'm going to be having a lot of water today because my mouth is dry. Anybody else have dry mouth this time of the year? Yeah. Oh, wow. We'll have prayer for all of that. Again, it may or may not be true, but as it goes, Tim recently started a new diet. So he decided not to drive by a Meek's Bakery anymore. And he did pretty well for a while, but one day he accidentally drove down Clinton Street. And there it was, in the window, all this pastries and donuts and chocolate and stuff. Just wow. He was overwhelmed. But the story is that Tim felt it wasn't an accident, that perhaps God sent him that way because, you know, the Lord directs his steps. And he certainly didn't want to disobey God. So just to be sure, he prayed, "Lord, if this is completely you, and if you want me to have any of those delicious goodies, please create an empty parking space right in front of the door." And don't you know, after 10 times around the block, there it was. God is good, amen? Judge that for yourself. We'll see where that goes. I want to share with you a lot of scripture today. Matter of fact, it's mostly scripture that we're going to read and think about. Some of it we're going to read more than once. Fewer notes about what I am going to say, and this is just the word of God. That's what we're here to do, right? Preach the word. Because in the word there is life, there's love, and there's liberty. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. We used to sing this, remember? How many remember singing this as a song? "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. Another scripture, this is John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I have three observations about love. There's millions of them. When you get up to preach about love or talk about love, you're like the smallest speck on the smallest, tiniest matter in outer space. That's how big love is. You can't talk about it enough. It's hard. You talk about overwhelmed. And to kind of boil it down here to one point of condensation, condensed word that the Lord's given me to share about love. There's a lot more, but I want to share this with you. There's three observations. The measure of love, the treasure of love, and the pleasure of love. The measure, the treasure, and the pleasure of love. Under the measure of love, John chapter 3, verse 16, the measure by which all love is judged. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's kind of love that there's no end in sight for it. There's no way to us to grasp, to understand the fact that Jesus, that God, valued our lives, considered us worth saving more than he valued his own. And this is the God that created all that vast expanse and emptiness out there that we see people call it outer space. And have you noticed, probably with the new technology we have, a lot of people are pointing to outer space a lot more. A lot of people live out there where their brain is concerned. Mine does sometimes, outer space. But they're really fascinated with outside of the earth, the moon and the galaxies and the universe and all the stuff they say. That it's they tell us that the earth is that 13.5 billion years old or something like that. They tell us that everything's close in outer space and measured by the speed of light when something is 200 light years away. And they say, we sit with a telescope. That means if you traveled at the speed of light, it would take you 200 or 2,000 years to get there. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And you think, all of the heavens and the earth were created on purpose. If there's a creation, there's a creator. If there's a plan, there's a planner. If you're assigned to something, then there's an assigner. I'll leave that out there. And that points all road signs point to Almighty God. There's more debate today between atheists and agnostics and other people with other strange ideas that debate love. But everything that all the other religions and all the other non-religions, things that challenge us, none of them is truly centered on personalized individual love for humanity. If it was, then we could meet someone from whom we're told is our adversary and break bread with them. And just, we don't know them, they don't know us. Let's find the good in it. Let's help one another. Let's like one another. Let's learn to love one another. And to love one another is not just to shake hands and say, I love you. To love one another, there's an action, and that action is as different as we are people. But think about it. In this world where the prince of the power still rules the air, he's not been taken care of just yet, but he's going to be. But for that reason, there are people in charge of this planet, 2 or 3 or 5 or maybe 100 people, whoever the top echelon are, that they don't like those other 100 people. So we're going to send tens of thousands of our own people to fight each other. And we don't know them and they don't know us. We might have ran into them in the mall somewhere at another point. But we're told, no, we're enemies. You're enemies because of this or this or this. That's overwhelming. And it's overwhelming to me that pointed me back to this message. I've spoken this sort of somewhere before, but it brought me back because I find myself being triggered to do the things in the earth that don't show God's love. Every minute of every day, that's a challenge to me, especially with politics. Where now, it's very personal because they can come right into your living room and go right into your shirt pocket. And what are they doing? They're saying, you have to hate whatever. You have to hate these people. You have to like these people. And like these, not too much, but see what they can do for you. And here's how you can make money just sitting. It comes rolling in. And here's bad stuff. Just it pours in, overwhelmed. We're not enough to take it. And I'm telling you, it's my challenge. So I'm certain it's everybody else's challenge. I really, really want to be overwhelmed with the love of God, with the love he expressed to me that I've read in John 3:16, and I am as guilty as anyone of reading that so many times, different versions, different translations, that I don't say I become callous to it, but we have contests where we just say, for God so loved the world, he gave his begotten son. Well, you did that faster than anybody else, or learn it when we're younger, whatever, but we never took the lid off. We put it on the shelf of our existence, and if we're born again believers, we say, yep, I'm glad Jesus did that. And I'm not diminishing the fact that we recognize it, but man, sometimes, especially when you go out through your front door or pick up your phone, that's how old I am, or answer your phone, you're going to be immediately challenged. Do this thing that isn't good and this thing that's really bad and don't do this and get surveys. You can easily just get so overwhelmed that you forget that there's a release. And he is the Holy Spirit. He is Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Here, take my burden. It's easy and light. I'll handle that other one. In fact, he already has. Here's an overwhelming story for you. We're talking about God's love here. And when we begin to stop and take our finger off the trigger of our spirit and our mind and ask God to overwhelm us with love, and we're going to read what that is here in just a minute. Not one of the things that is. I have a complete definition of love right here. It can be applied different ways, but it's all here. God put it in between those pages. But when we come to a point in our life, let me get back to my statement here. I have to confess, as the Lord has done this work in me, and I said I wouldn't get this way, but I have to tell you folks, because I'm not alone in this. We allow the word in John 3:16, we can memorize it up and down, but we never really stop all the way and take those times, even when we take communion. And I'm not saying anything negative about anything that we do, but we don't run to it. We don't want to be overwhelmed by it. Not that our spirit doesn't want to be, but we want to go to church and have the spirit activity touch us and get charged and get our battery charged and our tank filled up to do it again. Then we go out the door and we're triggered again here. We're overwhelmed by this, whatever. And we forget to even think about, for God so loved me. And the overwhelmingness that we have to have in our life is not push that to the back. Church has its place. Religion has its, I've got to deal with other stuff. No, you don't. The burden, cast your care upon me, Jesus said. Open the other door and be overwhelmed by the goodness of God. You know, the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's little tools in the box, like shield of faith. They're important. The shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword, which is the word of God. But love never fails. Love will always overwhelm us. The Bible says this, when the enemy comes in, Like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. You know how we read that for years? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. Here's the dam's broken. Here's the flood. Here's the overwhelmingness. We got to put that up. No, that's not what it says. The periods and the exclamation points, even if we read them the way they are, you have to know the meaning. And it's easy to know the meaning if you just peel the pages back a little. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. When he's going to try to open there, he's the one roaming around seeking whom may devour. And he doesn't see enough love to totally resist him. It's there. It's in us. He's in us. So let's just open the floodgate. Let the flood of the standard of God. What is the standard of the Lord? L-O-V-E. Everything starts from there. Everything goes on eternally from there. Alpha, Omega, beginning of the end. That's God, right? He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Say that with me. God is love. He doesn't just have love. He doesn't just like us a whole lot. He's not just fond of us. He doesn't practice love. He doesn't have to study love. He is love. And love, we'll see in a moment, never fails. We're going to read that scripture. Never fails. Some translations say love never ends, never comes to a stop. Never. How long is never? Never. It never stops. How long is forever? Well, that's how far love is. Now, that's that's overwhelming, but that's a good thing. And nothing bad can be as overwhelming as the love is that God has for us. That's why we need to go back to John 3:16. And let that be the foundation. Let that be something that we stir up to get excited about. Well, I don't want to just get emotional about it. Well, if it's just the emotions that we're trying for, we've missed the point. But if we really want to be agents, representative, one with God, God is love, we need to be overwhelmed, which means we need to pay a lot less attention to the other stuff that's overwhelming us. Because not a single other one of those things is good for us. None. So the measure of love is John 3:16. The treasure of love, this is 1 John 3:16 through 20. This is how we come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers. And not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. It goes on to say, my dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're truly living in God's reality. God's reality. Say it with me. God's reality. Do you know there's a reality different than the stuff we can touch and feel and taste and smell here, different than the aches and pains, even different from the joyfulness and the euphoria and the good things. This is not the reality that was forever. God's reality is the reality. Man was created in God's image like a part of that reality. And you know what? There will be a time when this reality won't be here. We're going to read that in a minute, I promise. And all that's left is we live in the overwhelmingness, the unending, indescribable. We're just so messed up in the physical, we can't even describe how good it's going to be that love will flow through us. And if it's going to flow through us in eternity future, then on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, you have to be willing to submit yourself to that if that's what we want. But he said here, living in God's reality, it's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism even when there's nothing to it or when there's something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we know about ourselves. That's the treasure of love. God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. The pleasure of love. This is 1 John 3:21-22. And friends, once that's taken care of, what I just read, We are no longer accusing or condemning ourselves. We're bold and free before God. Let's say I'm bold and free before God. Sit with me. I am bold and free before God. The Bible says an entrance of abundance has been given to us because there's nothing keeping us from the presence of the Lord. He came to us. We're born again, built over again. Now we just live with him forever. He's living with us forever. He's the one that sought us out, folks. We didn't go looking for him. We were living in the overwhelmingness. And never, ever to the point of what the Lord has shared with us. Not just us, but Christianity. I don't know that we've ever realized and appreciated the fullness, because as we try, the enemy fights. And I heard a very wise scholar named Denzel Washington. He said, it's this commercial, I don't know if this movie says, if the devil's after you, you're doing something good for God. Amen, brother. I see a lot of people must be doing something good for God, because, boy, you can feel like you're being chased down sometimes. But you know what the scripture says? If you resist him, what will he do? He'll flee. I saw this video that I don't even know what it was. There was something, there was a shack in somebody's property. There was some guy in it. And it was a good guy, but the guy outside thought it was a bad guy in there. So he got his dogs and he just sent them in. They just ran in full speed. And I thought, wow, that dog didn't even think about what's in there, what it was. But he knew, they could sense it was something wonderful in there. And he just ran right into the throne room, right through the door, jumped the fence. His master was there. The other guy had taken over the place, and he had the keys to the gates. Nobody came. Oop! Now the master's there, and the dog's on his side now. I'm coming to get those keys. I'm unlocking every gate here. I'm going to stand on the victory that God gave us through the love of Jesus. John 3:16. The pleasure of love, it says that we're able to stretch our hands out and receive this again. It's 1 John 3:21-22. We're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we ask for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him, doing what gives God pleasure. What are we doing that gives God pleasure? When we cast our burdens on him, so that his love can be projected through us. A conduit, if you will. A live conduit. One that enjoys the contents and shares it with others. That's what pleases God. So we talked about the measure, the treasure, and the pleasure of God. Now I'm gonna close my sermon, and then we're going to read some scripture, okay? I have to, because it says summary right there. God expressed the unlimited measure of his love for us through the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. He loves us more than he loves his own life, and he proved it. This is the measure and the treasure of his love for us. It gives God great pleasure for each of us to put his love or her love into practice, into action, by sharing his love, by being his love to a lost and dying world. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've got a digital thing or a regular Bible, go over there, if you would, please. I'm going to read all three of them in its entirety from three different translations. And I checked it enough as best I could. All the meanings of every word is as accurate as these three different translations. But how they are worded will impress you different. It's kind of like kneading dough. You're going to get one nice set of biscuits out of it. But this side you squeeze it a little bit. That side you roll it a little bit. And you put it in the oven. Then it squats down a little bit. Then it rises and it becomes what it's supposed to be. We're going to do that with the word. We're going to consume it here. 1 Corinthians 13. First I'll read the King James Version. I grew up in the Appalachian area where there's no version but this version. In heaven, that's the version that the Lord's going to have. Well, he lived a few hundred years before King James. But anyway, that's and I don't mind that. You know, that's okay. When you hear people pray, you can kind of tell where they are in the lifespan. If they pray in King James English, it's beautiful. And it's sincere and it's from the heart. And that means these people, all the people who do that, put it in the highest place. It's a wonderful thing because it's God's word. And as we dig into it, we're supposed to. It's supposed to draw us in. But here's what it says from the New King James Version. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How many is all? All of it. Ooh, left a few out. Nope. Get them in here. All of it. Love never fails. Let's say it. Love never fails. Never. That's not the Greek, that's the Kirk translation. But if there's prophecies, they'll fail. If there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Even if they were good, you still put away childish things. I liked little cars and trucks playing in the basement of my papa's house. He had a dirt wall down in his basement. We'd carve out roads. And I'd sometimes make my own car out of matchboxes or whatever. I loved to do that. I loved to do it. But I grew up. I have to put childish things away. Except I have a grandchild's bedroom we still have toys in. And I like to go too. So, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, and that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, so forth and so on, I spoke as a child, understood, thought. When I became a man, or you could say a woman there, I put away childish things. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. What a beautiful word. But I didn't really get the full meaning of some of that stuff when I read it for the first time, the second time, or probably now, like the 200th time, where it says, if I give my body to be burned, what's he talking about, Lord? We'll read another translation. It'll help you understand that. This is the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. If I had the gift of being able to speak in other languages without learning them, and could speak in every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making noise. If I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what was going to happen in the future and knew everything about everything, wow. I know some people. No, I don't. I won't tell them, John. But didn't love others, what good would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so I could speak to a mountain and make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel, but didn't love others, there would be no value whatsoever. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to them no matter what the cost. You will always believe in them, always expect the best of them, and always stand your ground in defending them. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. Love never fails. It goes on forever. Someday prophecy and speaking in unknown tongues and special knowledge, these gifts will all disappear. Now we know so little, even with our special gifts, and the preaching of the most gifted is disappear. Or it's so little, even the most gifted is still so poor. But when we have been made perfect and complete, then the need for these inadequate special gifts will come to an end and they will disappear. I will stop and preach on that, but we won't. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. Prophecy, speaking in unknown language, and special knowledge, these gifts will disappear. These are all good gifts. Let me read it one more time. Someday prophecy, speaking in unknown language, special knowledge, they will disappear. They are great things today, aren't they? They're good things, but they'll disappear. For we know so little, even with our special gifts, and the preaching of those most gifted is still poor. But when we've been made perfect and complete, then the need for these inadequate gifts will come to an end and they'll disappear. It's like this. When I was a child, remember, this is the Living Bible. I was a child. I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I have to put away childish things. In the same way, we can understand only a little about God right now, as if we're peering at his reflection in a poor mirror. Or someday we're going to see him in his completeness, face to face. Now all that I know is hazy and blurred. Even the best that I know about heaven. I've tried to think about heaven, what it's really like. It's a real place. Are we no real people? I can't wrap my brain around what it's going to be like. Walking in the streets, visiting people. What do you do? But it's wonderful to know that it's going to happen. But then I see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now. There are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. All right, and then I'm going to read this and we'll close. This is from The Message. Excuse me. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith to say to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, it's nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake and be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with anything, never looks back, always looks for the best, and keeps going to the end. Love never dies. It never fails, never ends, and never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incomplete will all be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us now, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for right now, until the completeness, we have three things to do that lead us toward consummation. To trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, and to love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. God is love. read those scriptures over and over, so now they're kind of mixed in with us. We're paying attention to it. God is love. Let's go here for a minute. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, and I won't go back and read them all, but do this in your mind, in your heart, in your study. Remove the word love and say the word God for every verse in 1 Corinthians 13. Every verse, instead of love, say God. Say my heavenly Father. Because it is. He is love. He's the personification, eternal, always been, always will be, but most importantly, always is, always am. He said, I am that I am. Love. So let that roll around in your mind and you read it, and then that scripture has not a different meaning, but a more complete meaning for us. Now take a big gulp, take a deep breath. Now put your name in there. And I will read the Message version. I almost have to repent before I read it. But we got to do this. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic essence, but don't have love, I'm nothing but a creaking, rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries, make everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, I don't have love, then it's nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, no matter what I believe or what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Kurt never gives up. Kurt cares more for others than for self. Kurt doesn't want what he doesn't have. Kurt doesn't strut. Kurt doesn't have a swelled head. That's debatable. Kurt doesn't force himself on others. Kurt isn't always me first. Kurt doesn't fly off the handle. Kurt doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Kurt doesn't revel when others grovel. Kurt takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Kurt puts up with anything. I guess the next one helps with that. Kurt trusts God always. Kurt always looks for the best. Kurt never looks back. Kurt keeps going to the end. Kurt never dies. Whew. Yep, overwhelming definitely applies to that. Right? And we're not supposed to keep a scorecard or a record, but I almost need to put that on my fridge and say, here's what I got to be, all of this every day. I can't do this, Lord. We begin to fall into the shell, but we forget. We're not our own. And maybe we're not practicing that love according to every single one of those steps. No excuse, because the Father is in us. Holy Spirit is in us. The best thing we need to do is just get out of the way. And believe me, I'm preaching to me. But I think it's a pretty deep and sound word that we all, well, I'm not worthy to have my name in there. Well, you weren't. But there's a cross and some blood and an empty grave that in front of God's eyes, he made you worthy. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Like that puppy ran into that shack. We don't have to come up there and try to impress God with Elizabeth. He goes, oh, Father, I am. Thou knowest that my heart has been struggling. Daddy, help me. Daddy, you told me not to do that, but I did it anyway. And I did it a second time. The first time is a mistake. The second time is stupidity. The third time, it's an addiction. But I'm still coming to you, Lord. You did say, Lord, if you fall 1,000 times, get up, right? Yeah, I did, son. God is patient. God is kind. I think the message here, I'm closing, is we need to mix that up in our heart. It's all because of love. Not fake love. Real love. The reality of love that he did spiritually, mentally, physically demonstrated his love to us. And we can do no less for others if we allow the Lord to work through us. The follow-up to that, this might be a series, I might preach on the other part later. How do I do that? Well, he sent us a helper. You can't do it alone. Yeah, I've heard people say this, God won't put more on you than you're able to stand. That's not in the Bible anywhere. The scripture says he won't allow us to be tempted above what we're able to stand, but along with the temptation, always provide a way to escape it. But make no mistake about it. There are things in this world that's bigger than you and me. There are things I need help with it. There are things that can overwhelm you. And you need somebody's help. Well, I have God, but you need somebody's help here. That's why we're a body. The arm might be able to do something that the foot can't. The brain might make a decision that you got a problem down here. You see what I mean? That's why the Lord says we're the body of Christ. Who's the head of that body? Jesus. That's a figurative but literal thing, if I could put it that way. He's in us. We invited him into our heart. So these things of putting our name into 1 Corinthians 13, don't get yourself burdened or overwhelmed by how big it is. You're right. We couldn't keep the Ten Commandments either. But God, who is mercy, endures forever. How long? And how long does love last? Wow. His mercy endures forever. Yeah, I could keep taking a crack at all of those. And we'll get them. We'll get it. I believe we can. Don't mean you're perfect in this world, but in your Father's eyes, you've been made perfect, so you're able to do this. In fact, to express God's love and to be God's love in this earth, that's what our calling is. To go into all this world and to make disciples. Let them see his love in practice through us. The second part of this is crucify your flesh, and that's how God works through us to accomplish this. Be coming at a later date. Thank you so much, everybody. God bless you.